Hello and welcome to Catch Up with Community Church. It's so great to have you join us online today. If you're one of our regular members or you've just stumbled across us on the internet, you're super welcome and we really hope you get a lot out of today's preach. And it's finally here. We've come to the end of our Kingdom Life series and it's been a great series so far, and David is finishing it off as we do a Discovery Bible study that reflects on these last 18 weeks. So we hope you get a lot out of it. Before we get into that Discovery Bible study, just a quick reminder, this Sunday is our church picnic straight after church, big church at Hatch. Love to see you there. Bring a chair, bring a rug. We have a few surprises in store. But now, let's listen to the preach.
So we are in our last Kingdom Life today. How we live the way of Jesus. And we've been going through this. And as we've been going through this, there have been opportunities for questions. We might have opportunities today as well. But if we don't, then there's a QR code here. Please just scan it, text in your question, and we'll just post a little video answer onto our socials so that you can get hold of this. Any questions relating to this, not anything else in the world, politics and just questions about this, what we're doing, we'll try and answer that to the best we can. It's interesting, last week I was preaching at our Chadwell location, and those who are here would know that we were talking about wolves in sheep's clothing, those ravenous wolves that have come amongst us, and they will bring false teaching. You remember that? Good, because you would have had the same preach here. Benga did it, I think, that's right, yeah? And I was in Chadwell and I was just going through this and I was listing all of the false teaching that's out there. I think today more than anything in the 21st century we've got so much false teaching that creeps into the church. And I was saying what you need to look out for, those who preach word of faith preaching or prosperity gospel or hyper grace. And I went on with all of these different things that we need to watch out for, which are false. And then I got the question, can you tell me what we should be looking for? Who should we be listening to? Which is a good question, a really good question. And reflecting on it, I purposely last week, and I'm not sure what Benga did, I purposely last week didn't give you a list of names. Don't listen to this person. Don't listen to this person. I could give you a list of names. I really could. There's lots of them. Okay? In the same way, I don't really want to give you a list of names. This is who you should be listening to. This is who you should be reading. This is who, because what we want to do, and it's what we're going to be hopefully doing all the way through, is to build up the body of Christ so that they, you, and me together can discern true teaching. Now, if I was to say, here we go, you should be listening to this person in six weeks' time or 6 years' time, he might fall from grace and start to go somewhere that you think, oh, but David recommended him. Look at where he is now. You see? So questions are good, but we're also going to try and encourage you to work out yourselves what the answers to these things are. Well, if all I would say is look at people's character when you're looking at listening to people. They're flying around the world in jets, in a mansion, making loads of money. Then I would straight away question their teaching. You know, so we've got godly characters, you know, living according to the New Testament style. And then check it out with good teaching, the Word of God. Does it marry up to what we read here? And check it out with people. You're very welcome to come and say, David, what about this person? And I'd be very well happily to talk it through on a one-to-one basis, okay? But these are the sorts of questions that you can bring as we go through. We want to really get into this. We've dealt with some real subjects, haven't we, as we've gone through the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount comes from Matthew chapter 5 all the way to chapter 7, okay? That is those chapters we've been dealing with. And we started off with what we call a Beatitudes, the blessed life, you know, blessed is the person who. And we talked about salt and light, true righteousness. And then we started to look at relationships, wholesome relationships, purity, divorce. We actually had a week on divorce, truthfulness, love in action. And then we talked about giving. How do we give generously? How do we pray? How do we fast? You know, this is all in the Sermon on the Mount. Treasures in heaven, not to be anxious, the speck and the log, our seek and knock, the two gates, where Jesus says there's a narrow gate, there's a wide gate. Many of false preachers today are making the narrow gate much wider. They really are. Okay, it's a narrow gate. Jesus is the only way. He is the gate. Okay, there's no other way. Don't get caught up in anything else. Jesus is the way. It's a narrow gate. And we looked at that, the true and false teachers, which was last week, we see from the fruit of the letter. And now we're going to be finishing with rock solid foundation. So let us turn to Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 29. So if you have a Bible and like to turn to it, if you're new here or just visiting and won't have a Bible, then I'm sorry, it's not going to come up on the screen today. You just have to listen. But for everyone else who comes regularly to church, you'll have your Bible in your hands by now, I hope. Matthew chapter 7. These are familiar words. We've heard this many times. Matthew 7, 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And when Jesus had finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Amen. Lord, we pray that you will open up this word to us, Lord, and help us just to, as we finish this series, to really take hold of these teachings, these important teachings that Jesus brought to us. Help us to hear and to do for the glory of Jesus. Amen. So this is the end of the sermon, okay? We're coming right to the end, and Jesus is just again reminding people about how are we going to respond to this teaching. These are incredible teachings. Amazing teachings. You know, some of these teachings have just crept into our everyday life and are just used in common language, in English language. I was, as I was preparing for last week's preaching, Wolves in Sheep's Clothing, actually on the BBC News, someone was speaking and he actually used the phrase wolves in sheep's clothing. Just he was talking about something completely different. He wasn't preaching really, just completely different. And these sort of phrases are in our common language. Turn the other cheek, go the extra mile. You know, this teaching of Jesus is so famous. But for most people, it's just surface level. When I was preaching here a while ago, I talked about Gandhi. Do you remember that? And how he said, this has really given me an insight into Jesus. I really respect this man because he read this teaching. But what I said that he didn't respect him to be obedient to the teaching, because Jesus is very clear that he is the only way. He is the only way. We see two gates, two ways, two destinations. There's a heaven, there's a hell. And even today, as we finish up, you know, it actually finishes talking about hell, really. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, this is the teaching of Jesus. We can't do away with the teachings of Jesus. We don't like it. It doesn't fit into our contemporary culture. And today we're reading about anyone who hears these words of mine and does them, or anyone who hears these words and doesn't do them, that we're talking about hearing and doing. Last week, we were talking about those who say, verse 21, whoever says to me, Lord, Lord, and doesn't do it. Okay, so you can speak out about Jesus and not follow through, but you should also hear about Jesus and not follow through. Okay, there's two responses to this teaching. There's two responses. One, you're obedient, and two, you're disobedient. So we're going to talk. What we're going to do today is the fourth Sunday. On the fourth Sunday, we have Discovery Bible Study, which means I don't preach very much, and you all have opportunity to search the Word yourself. And so we're going to talk about hearing and doing. Okay, what have you heard, and how have you put it into practice? Now, for those that are here for the first time today, bless you guys. I'll try and help you with that as well. It's about foundations. It's about what are we building our lives upon. And just to say that this is about doing, but we're not saying this is salvation by works. Okay? Salvation in the Sermon on the Mount is the same as salvation everywhere else in Scripture. You know, it doesn't change. Where it says, it's by grace alone. Grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That's salvation. Our prayer meeting this morning, which was wonderful, thank you, Temi, who led us through, she referred to Ephesians chapter 2. And this is just an amazing passage of Scripture. It says, and you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked. What can a dead man do? Nothing. Nothing. You see, if we think we can earn our salvation in any way, then we're going completely against Scripture. Because we were dead in our trespass and sin. We could do nothing to earn our salvation. And then these two, I think, incredible words. There's only two words in the middle of this section, verse 4. But God. If it wasn't for God. Does that stir your heart this morning? If it wasn't for Him, we would still be dead in our sin. But God. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. A few people said amen. It's amazing that the love of God has done this for us. And of course, this illustration, we need to be really careful. This illustration, we've got two buildings in here, a contrast in the obedient and the disobedient hearers, okay? The two buildings. And when you just think, you could just picture this, those buildings on the surface could have looked the same or very similar. You wouldn't have known which one was which, maybe. Because what Jesus is talking about is foundations, which you don't see. And we see that as the storm came, tribulation came, and the final judgment came, one stands firm and the other doesn't. Okay, this is what we are talking about today. And Jesus here, I don't believe, is contrasting professing Christians with non-Christians. I believe he's talking about members in the visible community of the church. Here, this is the visible church. Okay. And what he's saying is, you have heard the teaching, not just today, but every week you hear the teaching, and it looks like that your building is the same as everybody else's. You're here worshiping and being part of the church. But when trouble comes, when trials come, when judgment comes, have you been obedient? Are your foundations there? Are you secure? Are you truly saved? The issue is not whether you hear Christ's teaching, but whether you put it into practice. We seem to be, again, confronted with this emphasis on obedience to Christ's commands with the kingdom of God at stake here. You don't want to fall. You want to stand. And I just want to say that you can get then to get this place of our salvation by works. And I just want to say this is not what it's teaching, okay? Grace alone gets us into heaven. But Jesus, I think, assumes here this sort of inherent cause and effect relationship, that when we are saved, when we're regenerated and we're obedient, then faith and fruit come together. Okay? Salvation by grace means that works will flow from it. Okay? And there's this saying, which I'll put up here. I'm not going to attempt the Latin, but what it means is faith alone justifies. So we're saved by grace. We put our faith in Jesus. He's done it all for us. That's the end. We're saved, we're justified, but not the faith which is alone. You see, one of the results of being saved is that we follow Jesus. We're obedient, and the works and the fruit follow. There should be signs of fruitfulness of repentance in our life. We should get involved in the things of Jesus. Our lives should change when we come to faith. Faith alone justifies, but not the faith which is alone. Saving faith is a working faith. Okay? We need to be obedient. Our faith, when we put our trust into Jesus, it should just blossom into works, into obedience. This should just flow from us naturally, because we want to do the things that Jesus did, because we're following in his way. If we see an absence of fruitfulness, an absence of works, then I would say there's a doubt about faith and salvation. And that's not for us to judge, brothers and sisters. That's not our job. Jesus would do that. When the judgment comes, we will see who will stand and who will fall. Where are those foundations? What does that look like? So in some sense, works are essential to enter the kingdom of God, because works, obedience flows from salvation. And if there isn't the obedience and works, then you've got to question salvation. Is that okay? Do you understand that? Yeah? Okay. So here's our questions for today. Let's start with the first one. Jesus says, everyone then who hears these words of mine, so what have you heard? Starting at chapter 5, okay, 5, 6, and 7 in your Bibles, what have you heard from our teaching? Okay. We've been in this for months now, okay? We've been reading these chapters for months and months and months, okay? Week after week, we've been reading these three chapters. What have you heard? What have you learned? So, I want you to get into groups, 5 or 6 sort of thing. If you're here for the first time, make sure you find someone who's been here for over the teaching so they can help you with this. I'm going to wander around. If you get stuck, help me. All I want you to do is, what have you heard? What have you learnt from our teaching from Matthew 5, 6 and 7? Okay, there's no point in us standing here every week and preaching if you don't learn anything. And I know it happens. I know it happens. I know I go to Wednesday life group sometimes. What do you think of the sermon? Oh, what was it about now? Yeah? You done that yet? So we need to really embed this teaching in, okay? So you can move your chairs. get into groups, and I want you to answer this question. I'll give you 5 to 10 minutes to do it. Okay, if you could bring your conversations to a close, I'm now going to come round. Just stay where you are. Don't move your chairs. Stay where you are. We don't need to worry about that. I'm going to come round to just ask for people to share. Okay, share what have you heard, what have you learnt from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6 and 7. Okay, what has been spoken to you, what have you learnt, what have you heard? Okay, that's all I want. And it doesn't have to be long, just a couple of bits. I'll start over here with this group here. Who's going to speak here from this group?
Hello everyone. Something that struck out to be really apparent is that we are blessed. In Matthew chapter 5, you know, it's saying in the Beatitudes that we are blessed people. So even though narrow is the gate and, you know, it's not easy living this Christian life, but yet we have to remember that living in Christ, we are greatly blessed and there is a reward for us in heaven.
Thank you very much. We are blessed. That's great. Over here. Who's going to speak in this group?
Oh, God. We spoke. Okay. We spoke about Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, where it says, "Ask, seek, and knock." In the Bible verse, it said, "Ask," not just "Ask." I'm going to quickly read in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, it said, "Ask and keep on asking, it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be open. For everyone will keep on asking, receive, and he who keeps on seeking, find. And to him who keep on knocking, it will be open." So what struck me here is that as a Christian, we tend to, like when we ask once, we feel like, oh, maybe we didn't receive the answer we want. So we believe that, oh, maybe God didn't want this for me, or maybe that's not the plan or anything. This Bible verse is teaching us how to be persevere and then persistent in prayer and seeking and knocking. So he's not asking us to just knock once or seek once or ask once. So he's saying ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking, and whoever keep on asking. It didn't say whoever asks once will receive. Whoever keep on knocking, whoever keep on seeking, and whoever keep on knocking will receive whatever they receive. So we should always, when we are seeking God for something or asking or knocking, we should not just say, oh, I've done it once, or it's not going my way. So that means God. So we should be perseverance and be persistent in prayer and always remain humble.
Great. Amen. Persevering in prayer. Really good. Over here, who's going to speak here?
So we talked about purity. And we talked about purity. And we went to Matthew 5, verse 27 to 30. And what stood out to us is what is listed there as sinful. And if we leave the consequence of sin, I mean, if we leave, it says, if your right eye, in verse 29, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that you, your whole body. So here, the Bible is telling us that we should live in line with what God has said we should do. I mean, we should not live based on worldly precepts. Or it reminds me of the scripture that says that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. So we should actually be looking at what God has said we should do and stay away from those things that God has said we shouldn't do.
Thank you. So purity of living holy lives, staying away from the things that we shouldn't stay, which we shouldn't be involved in, following Jesus, that's great. This group, anything from this group? Okay.
What we learned from the chapters is the audience that Jesus was talking to, the messages were not people that were hearing it for the first time, messages on divorce, but the way the messages were spoken to them, they never heard the messages like that. And I feel like for us as Christians as well, it's when Jesus is telling us about loving our enemies or not judging people. So I think it's just an eye opener in terms of the way he broke the messages down. And for the people as well, they were also in amazement, as it says at the end of chapter 7, of how the message was broken down to them, that they never heard it like this before. So I feel like for us also as Christians, when we hear the messages, we could get to that place of comfort where we believe we're living a righteous life, we're living a good life. But then when we see it in the eyes of Jesus, are we actually in the right place?
Thank you. Yeah, these are amazing teachings, aren't they? They're incredible. And it will come to that last verse in a little while. Time for one more. Who's bursting to... Oh, three hands went up. Very quick then. Three, but very quick ones.
Okay, so basically, my group was very interesting because we kind of touched a lot of the points. But what struck me is chapter 24, verse 24 of chapter 7 that says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon the rock. So basically, right, we hear a lot. We hear God say this, love your neighbor, do this, do that. But are we hearers and doers of this word? It is one thing to hear the word of God. It is one thing to get the instructions, but are we doers of this word? So basically, I think feeding your spirit with the word of God, being very focused and intentional about how you want to infuse the word of God into your lifestyle goes a long way. So being hearer and doer of the word basically settles it all, because after hearing everything the Holy Spirit has directed us to do in the word of God, practicing it and doing it is the highlight. Because if you hear them and don't do them, then there is no point hearing it in the first place. So, yeah. And when you do this, you build your house on the rock. So when the flood comes, you're still standing in Christ. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah. I think one of the things that was very key to our lessons, we're pointing out some of the hypocrisy that Jesus was addressing and the issues of the heart. You know, there's a lot of things we are involved in, religious activities. Many of us are involved in a lot of religious activities, and in that religiosity, we think that we are actually doing what Jesus Christ is saying. But in this instance, we see Jesus was addressing more than the religiosity that they are involved in. For example, you would say, you are praying, you're standing on the corner of the street praying, but your heart is not right with God. So I think one of the things we have heard that Jesus is calling us to do is to quit religion, quit hypocrisy, and then come to the real spiritual life, a life of faith in God. So for me, I just feel that's one of the highlights. He said, you have a big log in your eyes and you want to take out the speck in another person's eyes. That shows us the level of religiosity we have embedded ourselves with. So I think that's one of the call that this sermon is calling us to.
Thank you. Yeah, so really quickly, going back on seek and you shall find, ask you shall receive. You can always just ask for a prayer all the time, you know, oh, Lord, bless me with good health. But if you just say that, but then don't do anything about it, you know, for example, I'll say, oh, Lord, bless me with good health, but then I'll decide to eat chocolate and just sit on the sofa all day the next day. Deep down, I don't really care. I'm just praying for the sake of praying.
So at the same time, it requires action to, you know, really be connected with the Lord. Even if it's just baby steps, at least you're doing something. And seek and you shall find. It, you know, you got to, again, I could just say, oh, Lord, I haven't got a job. Bless me with another job. If I don't start seeking myself, even just baby steps, the Lord will guide me on the way. But I've got to start taking action myself. So I think, yeah, you got to do some action as well.
Good. Thank you. Well done. Good. Amen. Okay. And I'm sure there's lots more. There's lots more. We even get to these groups over here. We've heard a lot, haven't we? We've learnt a lot. So the next question, stay in your groups, don't move. Your next question is a bit harder. This is a bit harder, okay? And you may not want to share some of this stuff, but what have we obeyed from the sermon? What have we put into practice? What has changed? You might say, I've persevered in prayer more, okay? You might be saying that. Or actually, I've looked at my life and the sin in my life, I've repented, and I'm trying to live a pure life. Or it might be I've tried to deal with my anger or whatever it is. You know, my prayer life is in, but I've started to fast, whatever it is. Just maybe, and I'm going to give you a few minutes for that, so just very, very quick. I've done this or I've done that. I'm trying to do this by God's help. Very quickly in your groups, what have we obeyed from the sermon? Off you go. I'm only going to give you 3 minutes, okay? 3 minutes. So you've got to be very quick. Not one person talking all the time. Keep going all the way through. There's lots, I'm sure, to talk about, lots to share. And we can carry on in our life groups this week. But just to finish our time together, note in 28 and 29 that Jesus taught with authority. His teaching astonished the crowds because he wasn't teaching like other teachers. Okay? So he had authority. He taught as Christ. He taught as the Lord. He taught as our Savior. He taught as the Judge. He taught as the Son of God. And he taught as God. Which is why we really need to take note of what he teaches. This is God speaking. This is what God... So I want us to just close our eyes. And I'm going to ask a lot of questions now from the Sermon on the Mount. These questions that I found from the Sermon on the Mount. We've read that obedience is essential. The kingdom of God consists of hearing and acting on, Jesus says, these words of mine. And he's specifically talking about these chapters, 5, 6, and 7. He's specifically talking about this. So we're just going to pause. What have we heard? How are we being obedient? So here's some questions for us. Just close your eyes and reflect upon these questions as we think about this series that we've been in. Do we feel a deeper sense of spiritual bankruptcy? Or are we proud of our obedience? Do we grieve more deeply over sin than we used to? Or are we flippant and casual about our moral and spiritual failures? Are we more meek than we used to be? Or does arrogance and self-assertiveness continue to thrive and grow? Do we hunger and thirst for righteousness? Are we fat and filled with self-congratulation? Do we show more mercy to others? Or are we as self-absorbed as ever? Is our obedience external only, a mere conformity to rules for convenience sake? Or is our passion for purity a matter of heart's desire? What steps have we taken to preserve and promote peace in the body of Christ and among our companions? How have we responded to occasions over the past few months to reconcile with others or to stop conflict before it even begins? Are we more willing now, compared to when we started, to be used and exploited and even persecuted simply because we live righteously for Christ's sake? How has your relationship with the world changed after hearing what Jesus said about being salt and light? What steps have you taken to deal with anger in your heart? Have you dealt drastically and radically with the sin in your life? Or do you continue to toy with it and figure out ways to get away with as much as possible without crossing a moral line? Do you have a greater love for and a commitment to the truth after hearing Jesus talk about oath-taking and the sneaky ways in which his contemporaries evaded honouring their words? How have you treated your enemies in the past few months? Think about how you've been giving money to support the work of the church or offering for the poor. Has your prayer life changed? What is your attitude towards money? Are you in its grip? These are all questions that come from this teaching. Oh, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Holy Spirit, come. We can't live this life on our own. Lord, we will fail. We will fail miserably at every step. But Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, empower us. You have promised to give us everything we need for life and godliness. And so, Lord, we pray, help us to live according to these teachings. We thank you. We thank you for the wisdom. We thank you for the way. Lord, we know that you have put a choice before us. There are two ways. One leads to life, the other to destruction. And Lord, there are two buildings. One is secure, the other is overwhelmed. Help us to build our lives on Jesus. He and he alone is our firm foundation. And Lord, I pray that as we give our lives to you, Lord, there will be fruitfulness of obedience as we try by the power of your Spirit to live for you and according to your word. Lord, I pray that we would truly be a set-apart people in this world, a holy people set apart for your glory, that people will notice that we are living differently because we're following the ways of Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you for this teaching. We thank you for these past months when we've been delving in to the sermon, Lord. And, Lord, I pray that we won't just be hearers of these words, but, Lord, through your power, through your stirring of your Spirit, we will be doers. We will be obedient to those things which you have taught us. Thank you, Jesus. I pray even that we might encourage one another through these days into our small groups, Lord, that we will spur one another on as we try to follow you. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your sacrifice. Lord, we know that we are saved by grace. But Lord, we are saved by grace to walk in the works that you have prepared for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Keep reminding us of this teaching as we go forward. Help us not just to say we've done that and we can move on. Lord, may this really radically change our lives for the glory of Jesus, for the advance of his kingdom. And for the sake of your church, we pray. Amen.
We hope you got a lot out of that Discovery Bible study, that you got to reflect on these last 17 weeks and really seen how this passage has changed our lives. As mentioned at the beginning, next week we're meeting at our Chafford site for Big Church. We also have our church picnic afterwards, so make sure to bring a chair or bring a rug and bring some food. Can't wait to see you there. God bless.